Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast, and I am Janine Vosper, your host. Today I have with me a good friend. We've been friends for quite a few years, and this lady's name is Anne Noonan. Now, Anne is a qualified yoga, meditation, food and nutrition coach, and she is certified as a diabetes food advisor. Her passion is working with women over 40 and beyond. That's a bit like Buzz Lightyear, isn't it? You know, what? And beyond, to help her realize that her potential, us women over 40, our potential in life for outstanding health and vitality is far greater than we typically realize or have been taught. This is, ladies, this is going to be really interesting because I've heard Anne speak on the subject and it's just so exciting. There's no such thing as aging. So Anne has proven that when our health, strength, flexibility and agility are in top shape as we age, then our self-esteem and day-to-day productivity is massively improved. Welcome, Anne.
Well, thanks, Janine. We are going to have some fun this morning, I think.
Yeah, it's a great topic. And, you know, I love mixing up the topics for my listeners. So they've got business topics and self-esteem, life skill topics and health topics. And this one is a bit of combo of everything. So it's going to be really, really interesting. Now, as I said, I've heard you speak just recently and you have a lot of beliefs about aging. Do you want to share that with us?
Oh, my heavens. Yes. I truly believe aging is optional. There's a saying out there, we live too short and we die too long. Oh, and I'm sure all of us know someone who has lived too short and died too long. You know, we hear it all the time. Same with parents or grandparents. I'll give an example. A close family member of mine was a prime example, was diagnosed or at least had his stroke at the age of 56.
Wow, that's early.
It's early, isn't it? When you think about, you know, we in our 50s, this is quite young, really. And to have a stroke at 56 is a bit sad. It wasn't a very strong stroke. It was by how strokes get gauged. It was a mild, small one. But it led to drugs, more doctors, side effects, another condition of the side effect of the drug, and one condition after another. And this fellow particularly went purely by what the doctor said, wouldn't listen about any other changing of his mindset. And it took him till the age of 73 to die. And he was slower, went downhill slower. That's decay. That's the prime example of our bodies decaying. And it was purely choices that took him there. It was his choices to ignore nutrition, to ignore exercise, to ignore movement. And it was awful to watch. And I am so adamant to teach women how to not go that way that I truly believe we can age phenomenally. We have the technology, we have the knowledge, we have the ability.
And that's, I know, I look at photographs. My grandmother lived to, nearly 100, and so did her sisters. So I've got some good genes there. But I look at the photographs of those generations and they look older when they're the same age as we are now. You know, we've got a lot better food and health and opportunities, as you just said, in this era than our parents and grandparents or all our forebears ever had. So why, you know, to take advantage. And I know you've said before that aging is totally optional. I love that statement. So is that about the food and the exercise? Is that what you mean by that?
It's a combination of everything. what, you know, you just mentioned we look at photographs of previous generations. We'll look at a 50-year-old woman now, and we look at a photograph of a 50-year-old woman, say, 50 years ago, and they do look different because I believe their beliefs and their attitudes towards aging was very different. They did look at the downhill slide years ago. They called, and they even referred to it as the downhill slide. Way back then, women were considered aged when they hit their halfway mark. And to me, 50 is only your halfway mark.
Yeah, so, it's actually, I'm living to 125, so it's not even halfway.
We make up our mind. If we decide we're going to, we're going to.
Yeah, I've been saying that for 20, 30 years.
So really, it's more than just what we eat. It's everything we consume as far as the food and drink, but what we say to ourselves, the beliefs we have, what others have told us over the years and what we've absorbed and how happy we are within ourselves, whether we do what for a job or for a business, what we're passionate about, whether we have love in our lives, whether we have community around us. There's a lot to do with how we're going to age. But in my line of work, what I concentrate on is what we consume as far as nutrition and what we say to ourselves, and very, very importantly, how we move. Mm-hmm. We've really got to move as we age.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And how does menopause come into that as well? Yeah, because it certainly changes things up for women, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And menopause is not the same in any two women. There's hardly two women anywhere who will have the same menopause. We'll look at women in Europe and Japan. A lot of them don't even know what menopause is. They blink and you know, that stage of life has changed. It could be there. It's a lot of science has proven it's come down to the way they eat. Yet we look at the Western woman in America and Australia. We experience a completely different kind of menopause. Now, menopause is not an illness. It's not a condition. It's not a syndrome. It is purely a stage of life that we reach. And it's how we look at it. So we need to look at menopause as a stepping stone to a greater, higher potential time of life. So if we look at it as that, then we will step into menopause empowered, stronger, with the belief that we can do so much more with our life. Unfortunately, sometimes our level of physicality that we've hit, once we hit that age, and it can be anywhere between 35 to 50 to 55 with many women, once we reach that stage, it depends on how much inflammation we're carrying, what conditions we're already carrying, what's going on in our body already, our diet, our emotional state, our weight, everything will determine what kind of a menopause we may experience. Mine was horrendous. Mine was horrendous. And yet I'll speak, and I've known other women who've nearly died because they had the most dreadful infections and conditions turned up in their menopausal years. And yet I've spoken to another one who's, I don't know if I've even experienced it yet. I suppose I have. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's so extreme from one end of the spectrum to another with many women. It's extreme.
And just on that, I've heard that menopause is often your menstrual cycle. If that is extreme or, you know, not regular, then you can have a more difficult menopause. Have you ever come across that? I mean, because I know that's sort of what you're dealing with all the time.
Yes, often. It doesn't necessarily reflect, say, on your mother's period or cycle or menopause. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't necessarily, just whatever menopause your mother had, you're going to have the same. That we don't necessarily have to believe that at all. But you're right, it can determine what kind of a cycle we had as a child, when it all started, what we went through as a kid, as to what kind of a menopause we're going to experience. I, as a brief nutshell, I started my cycle at the age of 11. And it was frighteningly heavy. Too. It's early, yeah. I mean, a lot of girls are starting, you know, even as young as 9 years old these days. And I'm positive it comes down to the hormones and the food and such that we're eating. But I started at the age of 11, and it was frighteningly heavy for a young girl way back then. And, you know, the equipment we had to use back then was pretty scary too. It was really awful.
Very different.
Really different. And it's going to school as a kid and having horribly heavy periods. I didn't quite know how to cope. And it was always like that. So I was quite nutrition deficient and quite anemic for most of my years, thinking that was normal. And when some girls would tell me, oh, I only get last 3 days and it's only a few drops, it's like, what? How do I get that deal?
Yeah.
But no, it was scary. So throughout, and fibroids eventually turned up, and long story short, a hysterectomy turned up. So yes, I did have a really bad cycle, and it seemed to just relate to having a really bad menopause.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that's sort of what got you into, you know, working with women and the health. That's
most definitely. I knew because of this long period of difficult years gynecologically, I was heading down the barrel of really bad health, very nutrient deficient style symptoms that lead to all sorts of health issues, insulin resistance. And I had doctors either coming up with HRT, antidepressants, statins, blood pressure tablets. I had all this line of drugs offered. And I thought, no, I think I want to go the nutritional way. So I really had to take my health into my own hands, do some study, go and find out nutritionally, get my papers, my certifications nutritionally, so I could figure out what's going on with my body. And the more conversation I had with other women around me, I could see other women were going through awful stuff as well. So I thought, look, if I'm going through this, many others are going through this. I need to teach women how to take their life into their own hands and not just be dictated to or governed by the medical system or the pharmaceutical system. Because I think once you're there, once they've got a grip of you, it's really hard to get out. It's really hard to stop your blood pressure tablets or your statins or your antidepressants. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of women that are in that mind space, and the fear around stopping anything like that is just it's sad to see them rely on that sort of props. Really, is probably the word.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know. Look, there's various conditions of depression that I know a lot of women do get an instant relief from it, and they feel they need it, and fair enough. If you're going to get your instant relief and you're going to feel better, all that matters is that you feel better. But if you have the patience to look at the nutritional holistic route that will take a little longer, I think that's half the reason why I went through such a long period of very difficult menopause, because I was determined to do it the nutritional way, which meant stopping and starting and few steps forward, couple of steps back. I experimented, got things wrong, got things right. But then finally I started to get up over the hump and start sailing, so to speak. And I know it's doable. I know it's doable.
Yeah, and that I've heard you say before that sort of rolls back the body's odometer. I love that statement as well, isn't it? Because it's,
It does. We can roll back our body's odometer. I think when people click on it and they kind of get what I mean. If you're looking at the illegal way, rolling back the odometer of a motor vehicle, what are we trying to do when we roll back the odometer of a motor vehicle? We're trying to get more mileage. We're trying to make it appear younger. It's almost like a deceptive thing to do, not necessarily with our body. When I speak about rolling back the body, rolling back our body's odometer, rolling back right down from a cellular level, we can roll back. We can, the bones, for instance, take 10 years to reproduce. The blood only takes, say, 28 days. Other parts of our bodies, our skin, 28 days. It's, or was that 3 months? I get mixed up sometimes with blood and skin. But anyway, our body recharges and rebuilds and replenishes and repairs. We can have we can make that repair process better. Mm-hmm. We can make the repair process, that constant repairing and replenishing that the body does, we can improve it and improve it and tweak it up so that by the time 10 years down the track, we can look damn sight better than we did 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
We can.
Look, I agree. I had an interview this week with a lady, Susie Dent, and she just won Miss Earth Australia and then went and competed in Las Vegas.
Oh, I saw that. Wow, and yeah.
I interviewed Susie. She's just outrageous. She's
wow.
So funny and just incredible stuff to share. But she's 55 yeah. and was third runner-up, and she keeps saying the contestants that she was against, Mrs. Earth Australia and Mrs. Earth World,
right.
and that she could have birthed most of the contestants. So she just looked fabulous, but the heaped energy. And I think
wow.
that positive energy, isn't it? That is just so, so powerful.
Yes.
It makes such a difference.
Your personal energy, the things you say over yourself, your own beliefs about how you're going to age, literally what we say to ourselves I've had women say to me, oh, God, another birthday, going downhill, falling apart. Well, that's the wrong thing to say. You're going to say that over mm-hmm. yourself. Your body will fall apart.
Yeah, I tend to slap people around the head when I hear say things like
say that. It's like, yeah, about to turn the big 5'5". Oh, my God, I can hardly wait. I'm getting better and better. Or I'm about to turn the big 6'0". I am going to so rock this big 6'0". You wait and see. Don't believe me? You wait and see. We've got to just say things like that to ourselves. And
Absolutely, because yeah. 60 is the new 40, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
So women in business, I mean, how do we get our health right when we've got so much stuff going on and life changes as well? You know, we've gone from the total rush of having young children and getting them organized, and then we sort of hit this midlife, but usually our career is taking off, or, you know, we're doing what we like to do and want to do, or
yes, exactly right.
As well.
I do come across a lot of women who've hit their 50s, late 40s, 50s, children have grown, left home, they're ready to, let's get this business rock and rolling. Now's the time for me. But there's achy joints, there's you know, diagnoses, there's weird health things will happen, other emotional stuff happens. And it's very easy to get to fall into all of that, the aging process, and slide downhill, as in allow, you know, let the emotional things get to us, let the career change stresses get to us, let the physicality of the difficulties of our bodies at that age get to us. We don't have to let that get to us at all. If there's any book I would ever recommend anyone buy and read, it's Younger Next Year for Women. I tell you what, that is okay. Such a slap between the eyes. That is the best. That is a hard to put down book. Younger Next Year for Women, the best book I think I have ever read about aging. Now, one big point I got out of that, when you just talk about, say, business women and what roles we have and our careers, we treat our roles, our jobs, our business, our career like a dedicated career. We've got our diaries, we've got our to-do list, we've got our schedules for our podcasts and our emails and our videos and our social media, and we treat it very, very seriously. We need to treat how our body is aging, our exercise, our diet, and everything about our body also like a job that needs to go in the diary. When we're going to exercise, yes. Our yoga class, our running, our whatever, our cycling, whatever it is we're going to do, needs to be put in that diary, just like we would put an appointment in the diary. And we need to treat our body and how it's aging as deadly seriously as we are treating our business and our job. We've got to treat it like a job, especially from the age of 50 onwards, because as this book says, there's two directions, growth or decay. And decay becomes bigger and faster as we age. That if we can give our brain that message of growth that overpowers the decay message, we can stay on top of aging.
Yeah, yeah. And particularly, you know, it's something that's something I've always done is to diarize my week ahead is what exercise I'm fitting in. I taught aerobics for 10 years, so that became part of that mindset that you just exercise and always have. And it's not to the same level and degree. It does need a bit more variety than it did in the past, just to make sure we don't have overuse of different parts. But it makes it's a totally different feeling when you've got energy exercise gives you energy rather than making you tired.
It's amazing how, with conversations with women over time that I've had, so many women never, ever, ever throughout their lives ever get to feel incredibly well. There's so many who will get into this aging process. The symptoms start, the physicality starts, the stress starts, the soreness, the pain, the aches, the illness seems to seep into their bones, and they never, ever get to know what it's like to feel so damn good that they know what their body feels like, ultimately healthy, fit, strong, slender, and feeling damn good. That's kind of probably why I'm as passionate as I am, because I think I've had my first half of life from when my cycle started, from the age of 11 up to around about 50. I spent all of those years feeling like shit because my menopause and my life and my cycle and my gynecological history was so bad. When I got a grip of it, when I got a grip on it, these last few years, from the moment I stepped into my first yoga studio to about now, which I'm about 58, I cannot begin to tell you how good I have finally started to feel in my second half of life that I am determined to feel this good up into my 80s and 90s.
Yeah. And that's the thing, necessary. Isn't it? And that's where you sort of started from the beginning, is just that aging well. And
aging
feeling
well. We absolutely can. Yeah. But the other thing too
Janine,
the other thing I was going to say too is, because we're an aging population, we've got to be damn careful about what the government and the pension and the medical system is going to look like when all we baby boomers get there. We don't know if we're going to have the care, have the whatever care we may need as an aging population. So the last thing we want to do is rely on the Zimmer frames and an old people's home. We want to stay in our own homes and independent and strong for as long as we possibly can, so that that last few years of that awful part of aging is as short as possible.
Yeah, look, I want to, you know, well, this is under the assumption that my husband's not with me still at when I'm 120. Yeah. But I want to be like the Golden Girls, that TV show that you could be on. I want to live in a house with a, you know, few other friends and just have a damn good time and really enjoy it. I'm just wondering whether I'd be Blanche, though. You know, that would
who would we be? Yes, would we be Blanche? Yes, would we be Blanche? Would I be Dorothy? I think I'd be Dorothy somehow. But some women are doing it. It's starting to happen. I believe things like that are starting to happen in France and Greece. So in Europe, this type of thing is happening. Women are outliving our men. Yes. Women seem to be a little more receptive to health and movement and this kind of thing. And they are starting to group up and create living arrangements like that. I think it's a damn good idea.
A terrific idea. But that way you're supporting each other, you're pooling your resources, and you're just, you're in that ability to support and care for each other as well, and emotionally, physically, and everything else. I hadn't thought about it till now, but I thought, well, that's a really good idea.
I tell you,
I'll put that in my diary for, 2050. I think that's when it works
out. Golden Girls was ahead of their time. That really is a good message for women who are aging longer, but we have the technology to age much healthier. And at the same time, there's more chemicals out there. There is more. There's more potential for damage to our health out there. At the same time, that there is better choices for health for us out there. Yeah.
So part of your health thing is obviously the yoga. I mean, that's been something that you've been, you're passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
What about dietary issues and changes, something simple that people can do that's going to make a difference sort of immediately?
Stop the sugar. That's number one. Stop the sugar or reduce it dramatically.
Okay.
And rather than, and you know, and I think I've probably mentioned this when I spoke a little while ago, there's so many women who will say to me, oh, I don't have sugar. I don't have sugar in my tea and coffee, because we simply think it's just that white crystalline stuff on the teaspoon that we have to worry about. There is sugar hidden in so many things, especially this low-fat rubbish diet that we've been taught to follow in years gone by. That was the biggest, most damaging thing we could ever have done. And our obesity rates and our heart disease rates and our diabetes rates are bigger than ever because we followed this ridiculous low-fat diet.
Mm.
So we've got to stop the sugar, even especially in things that say they're low fat. In order to make them palatable, they bring more sodium into it and they bring more sugar into it to make a low fat item palatable. So be very careful of your labels and start to do your homework about sugar and eliminate as much sugar as you possibly can from your diet.
And yeah, and look, that's something that, you know, they talk a lot about now, and that brings the inflammation into the body, doesn't it, the sugar?
Seriously does. The more sugar you eat, the more you'll age. Sugar is the most aging, wrinkling thing, right up there with smoking. Smoking will age the face and the body and put an incredible amount of chemicals and inflammation throughout the body. So will sugar. It's one of the most aging foods we can put into ourselves. So that would be the number one dietary, followed by up your water. Absolutely increase your water like crazy, more than you ever thought, and stop with the tap water. Go with your filtered water. Reverse osmosis preferably.
So it's, you know, there's something I've been passionate about. Just the taste of filtered water compared to tap water
is different, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I don't go anywhere without my own water bottle, which has got the filtered water. And this is something I talk to my husband about all the time. He's got high blood pressure.
Oh.
And I keep saying to him, drink more water. And that, because the blood isn't the sluggish then.
That's
right. It hasn't got to push as hard around the body.
Exactly.
And it's, it makes him go to the loo and whatever else. So there's excuses for it. But I drink liters and liters a day because it's just what I've always done. And as I said, I don't go anywhere without a water bottle.
We've got to get into that habit. I'm the same. I won't go anywhere without my water bottle anymore. And we need to have a decent sized one too that will last us for when we can't get to our water filter. But you're right. It pushes, it stops the blood from getting sluggish. It pushes nutrient throughout our body. It cleans the liver. It cleans your waste elimination process. You will go to the loo more often, but it will flush your kidneys. It's better for your bowel. It improves our thinking. It makes our eyes clearer. It improves your skin. So it's also one of the best anti-aging. It reduces sugar. Up water is one of the best anti-aging secrets out there.
So that the reducing sugar and increasing water, is there anything else within that food component that is something simple that we can change every day, that's just a third thing within the food?
Gosh, there's probably lots, but
what can we add that's going to be really of value?
What we can add more to our diets will be colored vegetables, more plant-based, up your plant-based. When you look at your food, for instance, imagine your week's diet, picture that in your brain. If there's too much brown, that's a problem. Bring color. So, for instance, when I say too much brown, is there too much bread, croissants, cookies, sausage rolls, pies, pastries? Is there too much of that going on in your diet? If you can picture your breakfast, lunch, dinner and go, ooh, yes, there was bread there was sandwiches there was a croissant there was, you know, when there's too much beige and brown in our diet, that means age. Just think brown and beige means age. Go with colour, more greens, more colourful vegetables, more salads, more stir fries, more vegetable soups. Bring more plant-based food into your diet. Put more colour on your plate rather than your pastas and your rices and your browns. Go with more greens, yellows, orange, purples. Colour.
Yeah. And that's actually a really easy way to identify it, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's too much brown.
Just think brown and colour. Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes it really simple.
That's true. It's simple. Even think, oh, what's another food that can be brown that we love? Chips.
Worth thing.
You know, chips. But yes, I'm just thinking pastries and the tops of pies and anything that goes golden brown, you know, that's just be aware.
And that's where your hidden sugars are as well, isn't it?
A lot of hidden sugars. Oh, my gosh, a lot of hidden sugars in baked goods. Flour, white flour.
Yeah, and things that you don't
realize. You sometimes don't realize. People will say to me, but it doesn't taste sweet. But, you know, I didn't think there'd be sugar in it. It doesn't taste sweet. Whoa. Yeah. That can be some of the most damaging foods. Your white flours, white flour would be one of the worst foods that will raise your blood sugar like crazy. So, for instance, my mum was somebody who loves her scones, cakes, cookies, crackers, fruitcake, loves all of that. She couldn't understand why she's going diabetic and putting so much weight on. But I love my crackers and my rice crackers. They don't taste sweet. There's no sugar in them. No, but they're made with white flour. And they have a high glycemic effect on your blood. So if there are a lot of foods that will spike your blood sugar that don't necessarily taste sweet. So that's very dangerous for our liver, our waistline. It's one thing women need to be so incredibly careful of. Be aware of what your waistline is. If your waistline is getting thicker and thicker, that's very dangerous fat being laid down over our liver. That's what we have to be very careful of.
Yes, and I've read that and heard that many times before. But talking about liver, I did a post last night, and I was grateful for really good food and wet wine because I do like a glass or two of wine, and wet is good. Alcohol, how does this fit in? Don't please, Anne. Do I have to cover my ears up now?
Cover your ears now. Look, I can remember having a client once who loved her white wine. That was her ritual. She would come home from a very, very busy day at work. And she said to me, Anne, don't you tell me that I have to stop my white wine. I love my white wine. There's got to be another way. You just tell me another way. I thought, okay. All right, let's just look at this. White wine, champagne, will up your sugar levels like crazy. Red wine, even though, you know, there's resveratrol in it and there's this saying out there, oh, it's really good for you. You get all your resveratrol. Well, you don't get enough resveratrol in one glass of wine to really, really, really make a difference. But, you know, we've got to enjoy. We still have to enjoy life.
So red wine will up your sugar levels,
All ups your insulin and your sugar levels. So here's one way to think about it. If I use the words of Dr. Libby Weaver, who is one of my favorite doctors, she'll say, if you have to have your glass of red wine, make sure it's just a couple of sloshes in a glass. And a couple of sloshes only really is about three mouthfuls. So to some of us, it's like, oh, my God. Oh,
I think we better stop this interview right now. Because it's certainly not heading down the way that I'm
hoping. So, look, it's... We've got to also think the meal at night is just where we connect with our spouse and our families, where we just enjoy life, and we do still have to enjoy life. So take it easy. Say, for instance, if you're a red wine drinker, see if you can stick to one glass. Now, as I said to this other client who loved her white wine, three or four or five, even six glasses, I would say to her, look, think of this. What's the reason you really have to have that white wine at night? Think here. Is it the connection with your husband? Is it the relaxation? Is it the taste? Is it the feeling of the glass in your hand? Is it the mental end of the day, the signifying that it's the end of the day and now it's your time to relax? I made her think about what it is really that white wine signifies to her. Is it the thing you have to hold it in your hand while you're stirring the night's meal? Is it, you know, is there anything else that you feel could substitute that? So we talked it out and she said, well, it's all of that. I love the taste of it. I love when my husband and I, we can crack the bottle and we have a wine together and we talk about the day. It goes nicely with the fish I might be cooking that night, and that's great. So I thought, okay, let's not take it away from you completely. Get your favorite wine glass. Get your favorite wine glass and put just a tiny little slosh of your favorite red wine in the bottom and fill the rest up with soda water. And just sit on that for a while and see if you can manage to get that same emotional connection, that lovely relaxation that you feel the white wine gives you. Enough to get the taste of the white wine, but really all you're consuming. And I said, go and get your really big goblet, your really biggest, favoriteest, biggest white wine glass, but have only the white wine at the very bottom and you're predominantly drinking soda water. And she said, oh my God, it worked. It worked. Okay. So what she noticed, she was consuming far less consumption of actual alcohol. She still had the glass in her hand. She still had that relaxing conversation with the husband. She still enjoyed it with dinner. And she said, I was noticing I woke up clearer headed. I didn't wake up hungover every day. I didn't have that sluggish, hard to wake up feeling. My kidneys, everything, I just felt better. And I started to drop kilos. So why we want that wine at night, we need to really talk to ourselves and ask ourselves, what's the reason? Is it taste? Is it, what is it? You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I only drink when I'm socializing. It's just that I tend to socialize and go somewhere most nights of the week. So that's it's all right if you can just put it down to a Saturday night. But for those that know me, I'm out everywhere doing something. And, so it's actually a good point. I will analyze that as well.
See if you can dilute it. See if there's a way. So even in a really lovely quality red wine, I know a lot of wine lovers out there will cover your ears, red wine aficionados out there. They'll say, don't you obliterate a beautiful red wine. So see if you can dilute it with something just reduce its impact on your liver. Your liver takes in everything from what you breathe in to your emotions to what you eat. Your liver is that little factory that processes everything, and it needs to convert all that alcohol. So I used to be a two or three glass of alcohol every single night person, which also made my menopause horrendous. Your liver is processing all of that. It has to work so hard to convert that alcohol into something that the body can use and then send nutrients to where the body needs nutrients. Now, if we are putting lots of alcohol and then breathing in pollution and then all the stresses and all the other bad food that goes with it, that liver eventually starts to go, I can't do this anymore. And that's when it starts to lay fat down because it's starting to struggle. So if we keep doing this day after day, year after year, as time goes by, our liver is just one day going to crack up. And we need our liver really badly.
We do. Well, yeah, as you said, it sort of, you know, filters everything that goes through the body, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Yeah. So, that's a good lead into the takeaway points is, and I'm assuming the first one is be aware of what you eat.
Yes. Be aware of what you eat. Be really, really think about this. This one body is the only body we'll get. It's the only one we're ever going to live in. And if we just keep beating it up, it will eventually. Our body gives us messages. Our body gives us messages. And there was another client of mine said at one stage, my body has been giving me so many messages. I have been ignoring it so long. It's time for me now to listen. And your body will give you messages. So feed it what it must have and stop the crap. We've got to just stop putting the rubbish in.
Yeah, it's just so easy to do that. And it's, I was thinking about something recently and that for me personally, I have so much control in my daily planning, daily lives and getting a lot done and achieving a lot. But sometimes the food part drops off because it's the control of everything else around you. So you just sometimes want to go, and I know a lot of other people have this thought space as well. I just want to eat what I want to eat. You know, you're not going to think about it. But in the long run, especially with the inflammation in the body that it causes, and that's when we get the sore joints, sore everything.
That's when the sore turns up, when the sore everything, the aches and pains and sore that comes in, that getting harder to move, the limp on one side, the sore back, the this, the that, that's inflammation. And it's what we eat that exacerbates it. So I know one of the sayings is never, ever go to a grocery store when you're hungry, because what are you going to do? You're going to fill your grocery, your trolley up with probably comfort food and treats. So there comes a time, it's almost like you've got to have your blinkers on and say no to the Cadbury's aisle or the chips and the crackers and just think about what you're putting in. Fill that trolley with as much colour and vegetable colour, plant-based colour and whole foods as you possibly can, and stop with the treats, because we in the end, you put the treat in your mouth, the cake, the muffin, the cookie, whatever, it's 10 minutes, however long it takes for us to eat it, of enjoyment. But it's an absolute lifetime of inflammation that does incredible damage, that's harder to mop up.
Yeah, and that's I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind when I'm because you just sometimes want it easy and don't want to have to bother with this stuff.
It's
first point of
eating.
Yeah, sorry.
It's worth eating. Just think about what you're taking to work. Even if you think, oh God, all I've got to do is go buy it from the kiosk or the cafe, take your own container of chopped veggies with whatever dressing you like, or hummus or something nice, a dip, and have your veggies for lunch.
Yeah, look, that's a good idea. So first thing's to eat, and second, I'm assuming, Miss Yoga Instructor, is moving the body.
Move the body. Of all the it's funny you said earlier you used to be an aerobics instructor. I used to be an aerobics queen many years ago, because that was the thing. that was the fashionable exercise, aerobics.
I may have sold you gym wear. I used to go to the gyms and sell the Zon wear and beautiful Israeli lycras. And
didn't we love the fashion of aerobics? And of course, now it's the fashion of yoga. But anyway, aerobics. Unfortunately, what I ended up with, it was sore back, bung knee, swollen this, achy that, because I was just jarring my joints a little too much. And with all the study I've done, with all the doctor's material that I've read, a lot of them will eventually point to the kind of movement we need to do is yoga. And I was a bit skeptical of yoga. I was frightened. I didn't walk into my first yoga studio until I was over 50. It's the very first time I ever tried yoga. I was over 50. And I have found over time that yoga cares for the 50-plus body like no other movement. It cares for the 50-plus body. It brings your balance. It brings you back to balance. It improves your flexibility. It will strengthen you. It will tone. And there's a form of yoga out there that I also teach that it will lift your cardio and your breath output. So all the aspects of yoga is fantastic for the aging female body. Mm. She can do it for life.
Yeah, yeah. I try and have at least one yoga class. I stretch each morning, but for about 20 minutes. But I try and have one yoga class a week because not, and my body doesn't move from all of those reasons you said about teaching aerobics for 10 years.
Yeah.
As well as other yoga bodies. But I love just being in that meditative state while I'm doing it. And with the rooms darkened, I do it in a gym at night. And,
so nice.
And I can do most of it with my eyes closed because I just like getting into that space. And it's not just the body movement, it's that getting out of your mind and just focusing on the movement as well.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's what I love about yoga, more so than the postures. It's that space.
Absolutely. It's funny, you know, when I was first experimenting with yoga years ago, I would take a yoga class at a gym and there was this guy, this young fellow, oh, not so young, I'm sure he was in his 40s, but anyway, he had this beautiful athletic body and he took the yoga class and he was very gay, very camp, loved him. He was just great. Mm. And of course, I could tell he loved his yoga. He would just have this beautiful elegance of movement into each pose, and he would talk about each pose and move the leg now and let's place it here. And you could tell he had this love of yoga, and it helped me love it, you know, to the point that like he loved it. And as this particular class was winding down, the next class that was coming in was pump, and the girls were lining up at the back of the class. They got their equipment, they got there, they were getting ready for pump class, and you could see the agitation. They were building themselves up into this energetic state so that they could cope with this pump class, and you could almost see the level of aggro. You know, they're getting this aggression about them as they were getting impatient, waiting for us to finish Shavasana and our breath, as if to say, oh, for God's sake, hurry up with your damn breathing, get the hell out so that we can come in and do some real work. And this instructor said, oh, dear God, from the sublime to the utterly ridiculous. that is too funny because we came out feeling floaty and wonderful and stretched out and muscular and toned, and these guys were aggro as they were walking in. So you've got to think of also the energy of the movement you're doing, what it's doing to yourself. So what it's doing to you, it's like a lot of older women will say, I cannot work with a young PT because they don't get the older body. And that's, you know, we've got to really think about
it. I totally agree. I had a free PT session recently because of the birthday, and I was not looking forward to it. And after being in gyms for 30 years, I know what I'm doing, but I also like somebody else to organize me when it comes to that. And they put one of the PTs that's my age who I got to know.
Yeah.
And I was so happy because, and she just had all these perfect exercises for me.
Yeah.
And it was just right.
I understand.
And part of that moving is obviously we want resistance stuff. We want strength building. We want flexibility. We want endurance. We want cardio. So yoga's great, but just mixing other things in and doing things you love, dancing, whatever it is, doing something. Hey?
Go for a run if you feel comfortable still going for a run. Go for a dance. Go cycling. Go skiing if you've got this family who loves to hit the Alps or whatever in Aspen. In winter time, go and do all these different things that use all the different parts of your body. But it's so, so important also to stretch when all of our emotions live in our fascia. So we really, really need to stretch. Our deepest, darkest emotions can lodge themselves in the darkest corners of our body. And sometimes it's stretch that helps to release that. So, whatever movement you do, think about deep stretching before and after that really releases everything out.
Yeah, no, that's – and just quickly, we're nearly out of time. I can't believe how quickly the time's gone. The third point is just the mindset, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's so important. We've got to think about what maybe our mothers said to us about aging. If we were ever spoken to about our, you know, about aging by our mothers or by other people around us or people we've respected or other teachers, and what we read in the media, it's very anti, even the media around us are very anti the aging woman. I don't understand, because the aging woman would have to be one of the most powerful beings on earth as far as I'm concerned. So we need to think about what we're saying to ourselves about aging. And I think from this moment onwards, don't ever give an older woman a so you're sliding downhill birthday card. You know those disgusting birthday cards that are out there that insult women about aging? Even something as little as that, we've got to stop that.
My girlfriend gave me one that was a key ring for my 40th birthday, and I just kept it for years until eventually broke, which I loved. And it just said, you know, 40 is not an age, it's just an attitude. And that's the sort of positivity you're talking about, isn't it? It's that belief.
I want to see 70 and 80 birthday cards out there that say, you know, well done. You're only, you know, you're obviously skyrocketing and going so well, you know, make the 90th birthday even better. Not this insulting going downhill stuff that you see. And, you know, you see it even in Hollywood, the roles for aging women are drying up and, women trying to find jobs out there. There's this attitude about aging women trying to find jobs. Single women, they find themselves on the dating scene. They find it harder. And then this emotional trauma comes over us. Oh, geez, we are going downhill. No, we're not. We've got to really think that you're aging now and your menopause is just an open door, a great big gateway to some phenomenal years ahead, that you can look amazing, you can feel amazing, and you can be strong and worthwhile and, you know, boosted with self-esteem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's probably one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. I'm a huge fan of the Graham Norton show, and I watched Diane Keaton being interviewed the other day. Oh, my God. That woman is just hilarious, but just so positively aging. It was fabulous to see. And she had to give everyone this big kiss on the show. But she was just, she was so in control of herself and who she was. I was in awe of her. It was a fabulous show.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Helen Mirren is the other one I love. Helen Mirren and Judi Dench. Oh my God, those two. Oh my God, I love those two.
they've both been on his show not that long ago as well. That's one of the reasons I love it, because it's not an ageist couch. It's a talent couch and mindset and belief. It's just fabulous.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
So how can people get in touch with you? What would you like to share as a bit of a call to action for people to do and for them to find Anne Noonan?
Well, my website is pretty straightforward. It's just annenoonan.com.au. Now,
And that's Anne with an E as well.
Anne with an E, A-N-N-E, Noonan, N-O-O-N-A-N, .com.au. Mm-hmm. Now, I defy aging, so you'll probably see, I can't think of it right on hand. It's rebellious wisdom or redefining midlife. You'll see the words redefining midlife along the banner of my website. But across there, then you'll see my various yoga classes. My next Rollback the Odometer 8-week program happens later in August. You're very welcome to register for that if something like that appeals. But look, drop an email or just ask me any other questions about what other services I do. I do private food and nutrition coaching combined with movement, and a lot of my clients are noticing such a change in the way their bodies are morphing into the body of a beautifully strong aged woman. I'm noticing women saying, oh my God, I can get up and down on the floor, up and down off the floor with so much more ease. I'm feeling strength. I'm reshaping, because it's a slow process. It's not a magic bullet process. This is a slow process to really, really change it up. And I've got a few different ways to do that on my site. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And do you do that through Skype or some people that aren't located in Brisbane?
Yeah, I can do it through Skype or Zoom. I don't mind Zoom. Now that you've shown me this Zencaster side of things, this is a pretty good little system. But Zoom is good because I can still see the video of the person. Yeah. And we do, yes, the Rollback the Odometer admittedly is in the local area. But I'll soon find out a way that we can pop all that online as well.
That's fantastic. Look, this has been a really insightful and enlightening conversation. I'm not sure about the wine thing, but we'll have to
cope We'll get around that
at some stage.
I do appreciate
the concept behind it, Anne, very much so.
No worries. Thanks, Janine.
I've really enjoyed our time, and thank you very much for your time today and for the anything you want to say just before I finish.
Oh, look, probably another thing is you talked about stretching before. I've got on that website, that annnoonan.com.au, some free stretches on a page, I think, videos.
Oh, thank you.
There's across the top, there's a menu, videos. Just go to videos, and I've got a fair few free stretches, some moves that I believe the older woman's body must know. Whole heap of free videos there. Go and have fun and do some stretches and follow it along.
And that's annnoonan.com.au. Thank you very much for your time, Anne.
No worries.
I really appreciate it. And I, because we do see each other occasionally, I look forward to catching up very soon.
That'll be great. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast with Anne Noonan. And I look forward to being your host on an episode coming up soon. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.